I'm Barbara Klein.
And I'm Steve Ember with People in America in VOA Special English. Today we complete our report about photographer Margaret Burke White. She helped create the modern art of photojournalism.
Margaret Burke White began her career as an industrial photographer in the early 1930s. Her pictures captured the beauty and power of machines. They told a story, one image at a time. The technique became known as the photographic essay. In 1936, American publisher Henry Luce started a new magazine called Life, based on the photographic essay. In this magazine, the pictures told the story. Burke White had worked as a photographer for one of Luce's other magazines called Fortune. Luce chose her to work on his new magazine.
Margaret Burke White took the picture that appeared on the first cover of Life magazine. It was a picture of a new dam being built in the western state of Montana. The light on the rounded supports showed the dam's great strength. The small shapes of two men at the bottom showed the dam's huge size. Burke White was no longer satisfied just to show the products of industry in her pictures as she had in the past. She wanted to tell the story of the people behind the industry, in this case, the people who were building the dam.
The dam in Montana was a federal project. 10,000 people worked on it. Burke White took pictures of those people at the dam, in the rooms where they lived, and in the places where they had fun. With her pictures in Life magazine, she told a story about America's Wild West in the 20th century.
Margaret Burke White was a social activist. She was a member of the American Artists Congress. These artists supported state financial aid for the arts. They fought discrimination against African American artists. And they supported artists fighting against fascism in Europe. In the 1930s, Burke White met the American writer Erskine Caldwell. Caldwell was known for his stories about people in the American South. The photographer and the writer decided to produce a book to tell Americans about some of those poor country people of the South. They traveled through 8 states, from South Carolina to Louisiana. Their book, You Have Seen Their Faces, was published in 1937. It was a great success. Caldwell's words were beautiful, but Burke White's pictures could have told the story by themselves. They showed the faces of people in a land that still wore the mask of defeat in America's Civil War.
In 1938, some countries in Europe were close to war. Burke White and Caldwell went there to report on these events. They produced another book together, this time about Czechoslovakia. It was called North of the Danube. The next year, Margaret Burke White and Erskine Caldwell were married. They continued to work together. By the spring of 1941, Europe had been at war for a year and a half. Burke White and Caldwell went to the Soviet Union. They were the only foreign reporters there. For 6 weeks, Burke White took pictures of the Soviet people preparing for war. Then, one night in July, Soviet officials announced that German bomber planes were flying toward Moscow. No civilians were permitted to stay above ground because of the coming attacks.
As others were hurrying to safety, Burke White placed several cameras in the window of her hotel room. She set the cameras so they would remain open to the light of the night sky. Then she joined the others in rooms under the hotel. While she waited for the bombing attack to end, her cameras recorded the explosions which lit up the rooftops of the city. Before leaving the country, Burke White received permission to meet with Soviet leader Joseph Stalin. She returned home with his picture and a series of other photographic essays for Life magazine. She also had enough material for a book on the war in the Soviet Union. Margaret Burke White's marriage to Erskine Caldwell ended in divorce in 1942.
During World War II, she became an official photographer with the United States Army. Her photographs were to be used jointly by the military and by Life magazine. She was the first woman to be permitted to work in combat areas during World War II. Burke White flew with American bomber planes in England as they prepared to attack enemy targets on the European continent. She wanted to fly with the army to North Africa, where the Allies were fighting German troops in the desert. But the commanding general told her it would be too dangerous. So she sailed for North Africa instead. Before she reached the African coast, enemy bombs hit the ship and sank it. An Allied warship rescued Burke White and the other survivors and took them to Algeria.
The incident did not stop Burke White from reporting on the war. She flew in an Allied bombing attack on a German airfield at Al-Aouina in Tunisia. She flew over the terrible fighting in the Cassino Valley in Italy. And she moved along the Rhine River with the United States Third Army under the command of General George Patton. At the end of the war, she was with American troops when they entered and freed several Nazi death camps. She took photographs of the prisoners in the Buchenwald death camp in Germany in 1945. Later, she wrote about the war. She said she sometimes pulled an imaginary cloth across her eyes as she worked. In the death camps, she said, the cloth was so thick that she did not really know what she was photographing until she saw the finished pictures. In addition to her stories for Life magazine, Burke White published books on the Allied campaign in Italy and on the fall of Nazi Germany.
After the war, Life magazine sent Margaret Burke White to India. She stayed for 3 years as India prepared for its independence from Britain. She photographed the battles between Muslims and Hindus, and she met with the leader of India's nonviolent campaign for independence, Mohandas Gandhi. She made a famous photograph of him called Gandhi at His Spinning Wheel. She was the last person to photograph Gandhi before he was murdered in 1948.
After that, Burkwhite traveled to South Africa. Her job was to tell the story of the black people who worked in the country's gold mines. To get the pictures she wanted, she followed the workers deep into the mine tunnels. In the early 1950s, she went to Korea to photograph the effects of war on the Korean people. She took a famous photograph of a returning soldier reunited with his mother in South Korea in 1952. The mother had believed that her son had been killed several months earlier in the Korean War.
Margaret Burkwhite tried to make her pictures perfect. Often, she was not satisfied with what she had done. She would look at her pictures and see something she had failed to do, or something she had not done right. Reaching perfection was not easy. Many things got in the way of her work. She said, "There is only one moment when a picture is there, and a moment later, it is gone forever. My memory is full of those pictures that were lost."
More of Margaret Burkwhite's beautiful pictures were to be lost sooner than anyone expected. In the middle 1950s, she began to suffer from the effects of Parkinson's disease. Her hands shook so badly that she could not hold a camera. She wrote a book about her life called Portrait of Myself. And even though she was unable to take photographs, she continued to work for Life magazine until 1969. She died in 1971 at the age of 67. Margaret Burkwhite was a woman doing what had been a man's job. Her work took her around the world, from factories to battlefields. Her life was full of adventure. She was one of the most important photographers of the 20th century.
This program was written by Shelley Gollis. It was produced by Lawan Davis. Tom Verba was our audio engineer. I'm Barbara Klein.
And I'm Steve Ember. Join us again next week for People in America in VOA Special English.